Okay, welcome back here to wrap up with the final segment of KER, the KER Report. I'm talking with Dr. Chuck, really a good guy. We're going to talk a little bit about his book here, maybe in 2 or 3 minutes, but I want to get back to the question of COVID testing. It's my understanding that the statistics that the media is putting out, both in the print and also on the internet and on the television, et cetera, those statistics are really not telling the whole story. Can you, if I'm true in that statement, Doc, can you elaborate on it for me?
Well, yeah, and it depends upon which side of the media you listen to. We're getting so many mixed messages from the media, but there are definitely false positives and there are false negatives. And so, you know, there's no perfect test with this. So yeah, I mean, you know, and once again, the whole irony of all this is that you can have a true negative test. I mean, you can be COVID negative and the test be, you know, 100% accurate, and yet you can get, you know, COVID 2 days later. So yep. it's a real challenge. You know, this is the whole frustrating thing for us as Americans, is that we can't control this virus. And so, so yeah, it's a very frustrating kind of situation, but there is no perfect test.
No, there is no perfect test. I mean, a number of your colleagues have told me that, and I find that to be very, very interesting. Now, let me ask you this. My assumption is that at my age, 77, my wife's age, 71, and a dialysis patient, we should probably watch our P's and Q's. We should do some serious, I would have to say, social distancing, but I don't think we should panic, because even though we're in a high-risk category, Kath, because of her health environment, and me, because I'm a little bit overweight, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm guaranteed to perish, and she isn't necessarily guaranteed to perish if she gets COVID. Is that a true statement?
That is a true statement. So, first of all, we need to realize that the majority of deaths from COVID, about half of the deaths from COVID, from the studies that we know, are in patients who are, or people who are, you know, greater than 70, 80 years old. And then the rest of those people are people with a lot of comorbidities. But as far as, you know, the risk, the mortality risk of COVID, I've seen studies that show, that say that mortality is less than 0.02% for patients the age of 70. That's very low. I mean, that's much smaller of a mortality rate than what we were thinking back in February and March when all this was kind of evolving. So I think that's good news. I think we need to keep that in mind. Once again, you know, people are dying. I had a patient come in the office yesterday who had 6 family members who had COVID, and you know, 4 of them have been in the ICU, and 2 of them had died. So, you know, that does happen. And then on the other hand, I know people who in their 70s have had COVID, and they've gotten through it. You know, a lot of the things that's being suggested to us are things from a big-picture public health general kind of perspective. You know, from a personal perspective, you either want to get the virus and get through it, or you want to, you know, isolate yourself until the vaccine comes.
Doc, let's get back to the vaccine. Now, Pfizer and another company are both announcing, Pfizer, if I'm not mistaken, announced yesterday, Friday, that their vaccine could be ready by the end of the month. That's just a week away or so if it's approved. Talk about the vaccine. Number one, are you very comfortable that the vaccine is going to be safe, and if so, why? And number two, their comment that the vaccine could be out, certainly not distributed, but approved by the end of November. Would you discuss those two subjects, Doc?
I mean, I think that's great news. So the two companies that I've heard of, first of all, is Pfizer. That's an American company.
Right.
Moderna is, I believe, a German company. And, you know, I mean, I think the United States has bought, like, several million vaccines already, and I think they're already revving them up to be distributed. So I think that's very good news. How safe is it? Only time will tell. Once again, This is one of those situations, you know, dire circumstances often call for drastic remedies.
Sure.
And so, you know, we really had to accelerate this. Normally it takes, you know, 8 to 10 years to get a vaccine. We did this in a year, which is amazing how this Warp Speed program, you know, kind of the rate they've done everything. Could something be missed? Well, that's potentially a problem, but I do think that, you know, it sounds like they went through all the checks and balances, you know, that what we call, you know, stage one, stage two, and stage three clinical trials. So, you know, I think they've done everything that needs to be done. Are vaccines completely safe? No, they're not. Are they 100% effective? No, they're not. In fact, what I've heard about this vaccine is you have to have two vaccinations 2 weeks apart. So, you know, how many people are going to get the vaccine and then actually come back for the second dose? I mean, that's going to be another issue that's going to have to be, you know, kind of faced here in the process. But, you know, from the studies that they have at the present, the vaccine is 90% effective. So, you know, every vaccine can have complications and side effects. You know, once again, one of the things we typically see with most vaccines has to do with, you know, some of the, I believe it's mercury that's in these that are put in the vaccines to prevent, you know, bacteria and things from contaminating them. You know, what they're finding, though, is typically that was one of the big issues, especially with giving the vaccines to kids,
yeah.
You know, because of all the neurologic problems, ADD, you know, some people say Tourette syndrome, and a lot of neurologic problems can come from these vaccines. I don't think we're going to see those vaccines in the population of patients that we're going to be giving these to. These are going to be people, you know, 55 and up, healthcare workers, you know, and so, you know, we're not going to expect a lot of neurologic, you know, sequelae from giving the vaccine to people at this age. I do think it'll probably be a lot harder, you know, to get a good, you know, immune response. You know, as people tend to get older, your immune system begins to kind of level out, and it's not as responsive. And so I do think we're probably, you know, not going to see as much of a, you know, an effective, you know, vaccination where we develop antibodies as we're going to see in other populations. But it's a great start, and I'll tell you, if I get the opportunity to get the vaccine, I'll take it.
You know, kind of the way that I'm looking at it, and I'd like you to comment on this. We've got about 2 minutes left here, but I kind of think that this COVID-19 is probably not a lot different than any of the other flu epidemics that we have about once a year. Am I right in that, or is that just wishful thinking for a 77-year-old man?
Well, in many ways, it is like the flu. You know, we talk about the virulence, you know, and apparently it's about 3 to 4 times, you know, more likely to spread, you know. And, of course, one of the challenges with this as opposed to the flu, you know, you get the flu, you know, a couple of days you're sick.
Yeah.
You know, you can have an incubation period of up to a week with this virus. And so that's the whole, you know, kind of the uncertainty about the virus is that, you know, there's some people that get the virus and they don't get sick at all. And even in 80-year-old people, they get the virus and they don't get sick.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who have this crazy immune response, and who knows why that is. And so there's so much more uncertainty in the virus, and I think that's what makes it such a difficult.
That's what makes it scary, yeah. Chuck, I got to cut you off just for a second. I'm going to talk about your book here. I've got a few copies, ladies and gentlemen, of this book left. Dr. Page gave me, I think it was probably 20 to 30 copies of this book, just shy of between 20 and 30, I guess I should say. The book is called A Spoonful of Courage for the Sick and Suffering, Transferring Your Greatest Challenges into Your Biggest Blessings. I got to tell you, society right now is pretty pessimistic. You want a copy of this book? I'll put my phone number on the website where I'm going to have a picture of this book. You give me a call personally, I will send the book. No expense to you. I'm not making a nickel off of this thing. Chuck is so damn cheap. I told him I wanted $100,000 to do this, but he said, come on. And I said, Chuck, it's worth easily that kind of money. Let me know and I'll send you a copy. Dr. Page, thank you so much.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.